This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Yeah, what would you like? Usually my drink was give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of The Jordan Harbinger Show.
This is The Jesse Kelly Show.
Do you want the nice guy leading you? It is a question you are going to have to ask yourself. And you are going to have to ask it as an American on the right. That's going to tie into our history story today. It's going to tie into Kristi Noem and what happened in South Dakota. It's going to tie into what the future of our country looks like, and I'm here to tell you, we're going to laugh as we always do today on the Jesse Kelly Show, no question about it. We're going to have fun, like we do, but it is going to be, there are going to be some bitter pills to swallow today, I'll put it that way. Bitter pills for you, bitter pills for me. I'm not thrilled about any of this, but it's apparently a talk we're going to have about falling in love with politicians. I'm going to give you a little inside baseball on what happens. How does a governor doing so well suddenly do so poorly? She didn't wake up yesterday morning and become a Democrat. I will explain what happened, how it happened, why it happened. So you can put the right amount of pressure on your guy to make sure it doesn't happen to him. 877-377-4373. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Email your love, your hate, your death threats, your ask Dr. Jesse questions. Your insults, those are welcome as well. Now, before we get to Kristi Noem in South Dakota, before we get to the system taking care of its own once again, we're going to talk about World War II. And just a disclaimer here. I don't do mass shooting radio. I understand there was a mass shooting in Boulder yesterday. There are mass shootings all the time across this country in various communities. The ones that make headlines are the ones the media wants to make headlines. So in the wake of a mass shooting, because I know what the left is going to do with it, I simply offer prayers for the family and friends of those who died. And that's it. I do not stand on warm bodies and champion my political cause, and I find that to be absolutely, utterly detestable when people do it. I know politicians have been doing this for a long time, but Barack Obama was the one who mainstreamed this, and I thought it was disgusting. No matter what happened, he had all those mass shootings when he was president. The day of, he would stand up and start talking about things like gun control. Just say a prayer for people. Wish people the best. It's a terrible time. So we're going to leave that alone. Let's rewind before we get to Kristi Noem. Operation Shingle. Europe, World War II, Hitler, Mussolini, America, Britain. These are going to be our players in today. And we had a situation in World War II. the situation was this. Europe was a fortress, and we had to get inside of it. And it's hard to get in a fortress. That's why they call it a fortress. And it's dang hard to get in one built by Germans. German engineering, you've seen all those TV commercials. These people know what they're doing. And remember, Hitler inherited, well, he took over the country. I shouldn't say inherited. I guess in a dark way, he earned it. But he inherited a very, very, very capable military. And they were so capable, all of Hitler's top guys were all World War I veterans. These were guys who'd seen combat. They knew defense. They knew the ins. They knew the outs. You take over France. You take over Europe. You tell those guys to fortify this place because the Allies are coming. They're going to fortify it. We had a very, very green army to start out World War II. Very new, not experienced at all. And by the time we jump into the war, Germany is extremely experienced. Not only with those good commanders, but their guys on the ground have been kicking the crap out of the rest of Europe for quite some time now. We end up in Northern Africa. That's kind of our first little toehold over there fighting these guys. And it did not go great at first. We found out very early on, these guys know how to fight. We do not. We have to have a mentality change, a strategy change. We did. We end up winning in Northern Africa, running the Italians and the Germans out of there. And now we still haven't gotten to Europe. And we're trying to figure out what to do, how to get into Europe, and when to do it. But at this point in the war, this is the Nazi invasion of the Soviet Union portion of the war. Remember that. And by now, as much as it pains me to defend any communists, and certainly maybe the worst human being ever to live, Joseph Stalin, by this point, Joseph Stalin is fighting the Nazis on his own. And I mean on his own. It's not as if we're not helping. We're sending materials. Britain is doing what it can. But Britain can't do much. Remember, Britain historically, even when they ruled the world, they don't have that many people. They were running out of men by this point in the war, trying to keep off an invasion from their army. I don't want to make it sound like they're being lazy and lame. They just couldn't do much. Meanwhile, Joseph Stalin, he's looking at a Nazi Europe, a Nazi invasion of his country, and understandably, he's looking at the Allies saying, anyone want to lend a hand? Kind of feeling awfully lonely over here. That invasion of Europe you were talking about, that needs to happen like now, or I'm going to be in serious trouble here. I need somebody to take all this pressure off me. The Allies understood what was at stake if the Soviet Union fell. And Hitler could have taken the Soviet Union. And if Hitler took the Soviet Union, the Nazis win that war. We likely don't even get in that war. It's already over. You just let them have it and let the chips fall where they may. You could foresee, picture this, in one of those weird alternate history things. If Hitler wins in the Soviet Union, one, there's all those Nazi atrocities that never get punished, never even get found out about. Two, there's no actual final solution because that took place later on in the war. But think of all the Jews that are dead. Russia's full of Jews. Two, three, get this. You can yell and scream, but you know I'm right. Right after the war, there'd be some animosity, so there wouldn't be much. But within a decade, the United States of America would be signing trade deals with that Germany. You know, we would have. They would have been such a major player on the world stage. You'd be just like China now. Well, we can't not do business with them kind of thing. Anyway, back to our story. FDR and Churchill know they have to do something. They have to get into Europe. They're already preparing for the Normandy invasion across the English Channel. Let's charge into France. But they're feeling the pressure to do something sooner. They're thinking maybe we should make this a two-front invasion, make Germany invade on two fronts. We already took Northern Africa. Why don't we why don't we dip our toe in the water with this whole Italy thing? Churchill pushed very, very, very hard for this, called Italy the soft underbelly of Europe, and I am a huge Churchill fan, but man, did that turn out to not be true at all. Really not at all. Frankly, this entire campaign probably shouldn't have happened, ever. That's how bad and disastrous this whole thing was. So hang on, we're going to do something that pains me today. We're going to go to Italy. And then we'll talk about Christie. No, hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show. Like a stain on your brain, you can't get out.
You have to have a good heart. You have to have healthy blood pressure. You do. I do. And we all know that there's a laundry list of things you can do to make that better and things you can do to make that worse. Let's be honest. My diet is not exactly at the pinnacle of heart healthy. It's not exactly what you're going to see in a doctor's office, but we all know the deal, right? Eat better, work out better, so on and so forth. But when it comes to heart health, when it comes to blood pressure, why aren't you mixing in Super Beats Heart Chews every single day? You know they have grapeseed extract, by the way, right? Clinical trials. We're talking, we know this stuff works. Go to getsuperbeats.com/Jesse. That's getsuperbeats.com/Jesse. And listen, when you buy two bags, you get the third free.
I mean, this is thousands of years of common sense and tradition. Girls play girls sports, boys play boys sports. Why not instead just say, bring it on, NCAA. I'm a national figure. Go ahead and try and exclude us. I will fight you in the court of public opinion and defend principle. Why not just do that?
Tucker, you're preaching my sermon. That's what I did today. Today, I with Herschel Walker,
you vetoed
Jack
the
Brewer,
bill.
With Nancy Lopez, we all stood together. I did not veto the bill. I did a style-informed revision and asked the legislature to change it so that I can win. Listen, I'm not interested in a participation trophy. I'm not interested in picking a fight that we can't win. I am a problem solver. I come to the table, and I don't want to have talking points. And I've been bullied for the last year by liberals, Tucker. I'm not going to let anybody from the NCAA, from any big business, I'm not going to even let conservatives on the right bully me. I'm going to solve the problem. I'm going to make sure that we're building strength in numbers and we're going after the NCAA and make sure that we're keeping only girls playing in girls' sports. I've been doing this for years, and I'm going to solve the problem, not just pick a fight to pick a fight.
That was Christy Noem on Tucker Carlson. 877-377-4373, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We will get to that in a few. Remember, just a little teaser. We have to talk about a lot of things today. How a decision like that actually happens. We have to talk about casualties. We have to talk about not falling in love with anyone. And I do mean anyone. I'm talking about politically. I hope you fall in love with someone in your personal life. Or if you're me, fall in love with yourself. Back to the invasion of Italy. It's weird when we think about huge things like World War II and generals and maps and planning rooms and planes and ships and all the things that pop into your mind when you think about things like that. But here's the reality. Technology changes, modes of transportation change, but warfare, conflict, things like that, in general, it follows the same pattern. You want to know where you're going to invade next? Pull out a map. That will tell you. You look at the map. We're here in northern Africa, and wow, Italy is like right there. I guess that's where we'll go. And that's just how it happens. You and I like to think it's more advanced than that. No, it's not. That's how it goes. We charge towards Italy. We make an amphibious landing and fight our way through Sicily. Remember, Sicily's that big island off the toe of Italy. And I'm not going to do the invasion of Sicily. I will at another time. But you do have to know something right here, right now, because it's instrumental to our story. And it's really what we're going to talk about for most of the day today. At this point, this is a British and American force. And I apologize, but I'm going to give you probably four names today where I normally don't do that. You know, I don't kill you with the details, dates, locations, stuff like that. But these names are important, one of which you're definitely going to know. Remember, I said these are British and American forces. The British guy, his name was Montgomery. He was, to his credit, loved by his men, very well thought of, but a very methodical, plodding general. And I'm not saying that's worse. It's not my style just because of my personality, but there's a lot to be said for that. It's a very, let's take our time, dig in. Hold up. No, not too fast. Let's make sure the supply lines are brought up from behind. And it's easy to look down on that guy when you're a dude. Ah, give me the hard charger. But there's a lot to be said for making sure your men are fed, have the medical supplies, have the bullets, bombs, band-aids, so on and so forth. And your men sure appreciate it when you're not throwing them into the teeth of the enemy, too. So I'm not making Montgomery out to be a bad guy. But I have to do a little nerdy explainer on Sicily to explain what happened. The plan was this. Montgomery, the plodding Brit, he is supposed to land on the short side and head towards the important city. I'm not even going to go into that name because it doesn't matter right now. Patton, maybe you've heard of him. He's leading the Americans. He's landing on the longer side, and he's supposed to take this wide sweeping loop, taking all these ports, and then end up joining Montgomery, who has already nestled down in the important city and completed the invasion of the island. General Patton is not a slow, plodding, meticulous man at all. General Patton is one of the guys. He's very much, I mean, he was an Army guy, but this is the Marine Corps mentality to a T. No. Speed. Keep your enemy on his heels. Leave the supplies. Move as fast as you can, keep him off balance, keep him on his heels, and the advantages you gain by speed, the thinking is the advantages you gain by speed will outweigh the disadvantages of leaving vital things behind. Patton was outstanding at this. Remember, the Germans have, of course, a grading system for everything because they're daggone Germans. They had a grading system for generals who were good at what? In their mind, the number one attacking general in World War II. Number one, if he's on the offensive with George Patton. They feared him. George Patton lands, and remember that long route he's supposed to take? Oh, yeah, he took it. He blew through absolutely everybody, steamrolled the Germans, and ended up getting to the city Montgomery was supposed to take and taking it before Montgomery even got there. Montgomery was still putzing up the short side. Patton was just a stud. We got to do a show on Patton sometimes. But Patton was a different human being. Remember, George Patton, this is no joke, thought he was reincarnated, thought he'd been a successful general in the past. It was a different cat. Remember, successful people, talented people, people who make the world turn around, they're very often unbalanced. Sometimes you can call it mean, different people. George Patton walked around with a six shooter on his hip. George Patton is the type of guy, as a young officer in Mexico, got charged by a bunch of guys on horseback. He didn't flinch. He pulled out his six shooter and killed them all and then drove back to base with their bodies strapped to the hood of his Jeep. This is a different human being. George Patton did not believe in PTSD. He did not believe in battle fatigue, whatever you want to call it. So after George Patton tears through Sicily, George Patton gets himself into trouble. goes into a hospital, sees men without physical wounds who are in the hospital, slaps one around, pulls his pistol on the other one, calls them cowardly, and the American media gets a hold of it. George Patton is made out to be this absolute monster and relieved of command because he wasn't a nice enough guy. What do you think about that? Let's make it personal for you. Picture your son, if you have one, or if you don't, picture that you had one, or maybe husband, father. Young man gets mentally broken in combat. Combat is brutal. It will mentally break people. It has several times before and will again. He's sitting there in a hospital bed, mentally broken. General walks up, smacks him in the face for being like that. Let me ask you, because this is important for our lesson today. Do you want that general relieved of his command, or do you want that general to lead your son in combat when he finally gets it back together again? What kind of personal loss are you willing to take so you can win? Either way, Patton gets the heave-ho. Some lesser men take his place. And men die because of it. We'll talk about that in Christy Noem. Hang on. Jake's Mint Chew is tobacco-free, nicotine-free, sugar-free. But hold on, don't turn off the radio. I know when I immediately launch into something and I'm telling you how healthy it is, you think, well, no, thank you. But listen, quitting dipping is difficult. I have done it. Well, to be fair, I've done it multiple times. But to finally get to permanently quitting, it took me a long time because it's difficult. You need help. There's no better way to do it than Jake's Mint Chew because it's not bad for you at all. They have 11 different flavors of long cut, so you get the flavor you want. They have 4 different flavors of the CBD pouches, which really take the edge off. Jake's Mint Chew absolutely works. Go to jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse. When you do that, that gets you 20% off. That's promo code Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, jakesmintchew.com. You can find me on social media at Jesse Kelly DC on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and I'm on Locals. That's the one I can't be kicked off of. We've got some good emails today. Get your Ask Dr. Jesse questions in. And remember, if you don't catch us live on the phone, you can leave us a voicemail. We'll play it. I'm going to get to this Christy Noem thing. I'm going to get to Jen Psaki and Jen Psaki's sister. I'm going to get to these insults I'm receiving about my take on Jen Psaki. Not very nice things to say. Back to the invasion of Italy. Patton's relieved. Lesser men take charge. They do land in Italy at Salerno. And this is important. They land at Salerno. Think of Salerno as the heel of the Italian boot. I don't expect you to know where these places are. Don't worry about that. They land at Salerno, and it's brutal. Why is it brutal? Because the Italians aren't the ones doing the defending. About the time America invaded Italy, Italy's government said, okay, this entire thing has been a mistake. It turns out we are much better at cooking pasta than we are combat. We have joined this war and been slapped around in every single battle we've done. Mussolini, you're out. They depose and exile Mussolini, and the Italian government goes to America and says, hey, you mind? You want to be friends? you know, we can't do this. We want to be friends. Do you want to be friends? And America, of course, says, yes, absolutely, sure. Germany, in one of the all-time kind of darkly hilarious moves, there are German troops all over Italy, right? The Italian government says, okay, America, we'll join you. And Germany just looks around and says, well, okay, all this is ours now. We're staying. And think about it. What is a government without a military able to enforce its will? There is no Italy now. It's now a long extension of Germany. Germany got a boot. And so the Germans are now defending Italy. And as anyone who ever tried to attack ancient Rome will testify, Italy might be the perfect area in the world to defend. The entire thing is mountains and rivers. I mean perfect mountaintops, valleys, rivers. It is a defender's dream. You throw a bunch of Germans in there and tell them to defend it, they do it really, really well. What, Chris? Chris asked, then why did Italy suck at defending itself? There are a lot of reasons for it. I love to make fun of Italians just because it's hilarious. But the truth is, we've talked about this before, how your toughness really comes down to training. That great line from the movie Man on Fire, there's no such thing as tough. There's trained and there's untrained. Italy's economy sucked. Italy just doesn't have a huge economy. And you know what Germany's military spending was? And I'm going to miss this mark by a little, but I'm pretty close. Germany's military spending leading up to World War II, and this is in 1930s money, was $7 billion. You know what Italy's was? $700 million. One-tenth. They simply didn't have the economy to fund a modern military. You're not going to get the best and brightest like that. That's crappy guns, crappy planes, crappy tanks, crappy ships with crappy leaders leading. They just didn't invest in that at all, at all. So the Italians were worthless at this point in time. Militarily, totally worthless. Don't get me wrong, the food's good and the chicks are hot, but Italians were worthless. Germany takes over and they're defending. And they're defending Italy well as the Allies land south, the bottom end of that boot, and they're working their way north. And Germany figures out, look, we don't need to defend every inch of this. We're going to retreat to something called the Gustav Line. That is one thing you might remember here. So a little water cooler trivia for you today. The Gustav Line was essentially halfway up the boot. It was a line that just went all the way across Italy. It was a bunch of very, very, very defensible places. And Germany figured, let's just retreat there, dig in, and punish them. And wow, did we ever punish them. We did not have great command, or did they ever punish us? We did not have great commanders then. Our guys, General Clark was really our main guy on the ground. I mean, useless, terrible commander. But we started attacking, throwing ourselves at this Gustav Line, and we cannot break it. You like to think of the American military in World War II as being this unstoppable force that was never held back. We didn't break the Gustav Line. 6 months the Germans had us there. 6 months! And we couldn't do it, taking huge casualties. And now this has gone from kind of the side campaign, even though that's what it is. Normandy was supposed to be the main one. This has gone from the side campaign. Oh, let's do it. Let's see if it works out. To, okay, this is kind of embarrassing. This is really, really embarrassing. That's what's going on at the time. Churchill wants a new plan. Roosevelt wants a new plan. Everyone wants a new plan because we are bogged down. And the new plan was this. And you just get, I'm going to nerd out on you for a second here. You can picture the Italian boot, right, with the toe of it pointing towards the left, the west side. About the shin, about halfway up the shin of that boot, is a town called Anzio. Anzio was north of the Gustav Line. The plan was, let's just hop on some ships and we'll sail around the Gustav Line, land a bunch of men behind the Germans, The Germans will freak out. They won't know what to do. They'll have to retreat and back off. It really was a solid plan, in my opinion. There is argument about that, though. That's very much an opinion. There are plans there. It puts pressure on them. But it's risky. They start putting a plan together. They decide, let's do it. We put a plan together, and they come up with all these amphibious, you know, landing vehicles. This is our plan. We'll take this unit here and that unit there. And then about the time they cross the T's and dot the I's on the plan, the heads of the Allied powers say, oh, by the way, ooh, you know that Anzio plan you had? Eek, yeah, I'm sorry to break this to you, but we have a big Normandy invasion coming up, and that really is priority one. So, those landing craft, yeah, I'm going to need that one. Oh, I'm going to take that one, too. Oh, this army unit? Oh, I like them. We're taking them, too. They just take your perfect plan with your materials you've laid out on your table for your perfect plan. And like your kids, when you sit down to a delicious dinner, just start picking at it and picking at it and picking at it until you have nothing. Sorry, I didn't mean for that to sound bitter. But in all seriousness, they took away a lot of the good things. They took away so many, they called it off. Then they said it was back on, off, on. Finally, they agree. Let's do it. Let's land there. And they put a general in charge. This is the last name I'm going to give you today, at least last one that matters, by the name of Lucas, General Lucas. And they hand Mark Clark, the general who's in charge, hands Lucas this command and says, here, General Lucas, take these men and go land in Anzio. But look, be careful, but you can go, but also be careful, but also you can go. It's famous in military history for being one of the most vague instructions ever, right? He wasn't sure even what he was supposed to do. And General Lucas had something else on his plate to defend the man who has historically been dumped on pretty hard. Lucas was involved in Salerno, the attack we didn't go into, the one where it was a brutal, brutal landing. The Germans were sitting there waiting for them. And all this experience, General Clark being vague, Lucas having had a previous very rough landing, all that is going to make for a very, very, very ugly situation at Anzio, the battle nobody knows about, and that's sad because it's ugly. We're going to get to it in a second, and then I'll finally get to Christy Noem. Hang on. Jake's Mint Chew is tobacco-free, nicotine-free, sugar-free. But hold on, don't turn off the radio. I know when I immediately launch into something and I'm telling you how healthy it is, you think, well, no, thank you. But listen, quitting dipping is difficult. I have done it. Well, to be fair, I've done it multiple times, but to finally get to permanently quitting, it took me a long time because it's difficult. You need help. There's no better way to do it than Jake's Mint Chew. Because it's not bad for you at all. They have 11 different flavors of long cut, so you get the flavor you want. They have 4 different flavors of the CBD pouches, which really take the edge off. Jake's Mint Chew absolutely works. Go to jakesmintchew.com. Use the promo code Jesse. When you do that, that gets you 20% off. That's promo code Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, jakesmintchew.com.
Jesse Kelly. Back soon.
Do you have plans to visit the border?
Not today. But I have before, and I'm sure I will again.
That laugh, I want to know. This is a serious question. Not that I ever want to find out what hell looks like. Do you think hell is just that laugh being played over a loudspeaker over and over? Play it again, Chris. I mean, just picture just this for eternity.
Do you have plans to visit the border?
Not today.
Oh. Oh. 877-377-4373. Jesse at jessekellyshow.com. Let's finish our Anzio story here because we have to have a talk about our future. Let's talk about you and me. No, I'm kidding. It's not about you and me. It's about the country as a whole. They don't even have enough landing vehicles at Anzio. So General Lucas starts landing half his men at once. Then he has to drop them off and turn around the same vehicles and go back and get the other half. Do you know how difficult amphibious landings are, period? You have to get a toehold, but then you can't stay on the toehold. You can't stay on the beach because you have other guys landing behind you and they need the room. Plus, you're in serious danger on the beach. Plus, you can't go backwards. You have to charge forward. That's why amphibious landings are so difficult and take so much practice to do right. But part of the reason, remember I talked about the Marine Corps mentality in the beginning, being very much a General Patton mentality? That's part of the reason the Marines have that mentality. Always aggressive, always moving forward, because you can't afford to land. And, well, I mean, let's make sure everything's right. And hold on, let's slow down. You've got to land and go. You have no choice. Lucas, he remembers what happens at Salerno. He lands on this beach, and he immediately starts to dig in instead of pushing forward at Anzio. And Anzio is surrounded by mountains. It's like a bowl. He lands in a bowl with the water behind him, and instead of charging forward, charging into the hills, taking up defensive positions, Lucas, so worried about a German counterattack, he stops and digs in. Only no German counterattack comes. And Lucas actually sends a Jeep patrol forward, thinking, oh man, surely they're hiding just out of sight. Go recon ahead and see what's out there. The Jeep patrol practically makes it clear to Rome and comes back and says, nope, nobody here. Turns out the Germans didn't see this landing coming at all and had nobody there. However, Lucas digging into the beach is a dream come true for Germany. The German commander, who's a phenomenal commander by the name of Kesselring, you don't have to remember that, immediately scrambles his troops and posts them in fortified positions in the mountains, watching Lucas dig in on the beach like an idiot. Then the Americans spend 4 months getting pounded into hot mush by Nazi artillery that had dug into the hills Lucas could have practically waltzed into if he wanted. The German Luftwaffe planes pounding American ships who are trying to support and supply the men on the ground. The men who fought at Anzio quite possibly went through worse combat than any other American in the entire World War II. That's how horrible it was. You would just get artilleryed all day like it was World War I over again. There are these terrible stories of men just hiding in a trench and crying as the artillery lands all around them. Standing up looking for their buddy in the fighting hole next to him, and the buddy's gone because the fighting hole is gone. You're picking up your buddy's finger. Why? Oh, eventually we pushed enough people on the beach, and Lucas was fired from his command after a month, and we got someone different in there, and eventually we pushed our way in. We never really did take Italy because we let the German unit escaped to a different line up north. So much for soft underbelly. But why? Why did we sit there and get pounded in the oatmeal on Anzio? Well, let's be honest about it. That happened because the American public wanted a nice guy in charge. Do you think General Patton lands on that beach and stops and digs in and just waits because he's worried about things? General Patton would have been in Rome in about a day. But he wasn't a very nice guy. He slapped somebody. He was very mean. And I'm not saying, by the way, I'm not saying slapping someone with PTSD is right. It's terrible. I know it's terrible. I know it is. It's time for us to grow up. It's time for us to realize you can be a good person, but nice has a cost. And oftentimes that cost is high. Let me ask you one more thing, and then we'll talk about Christy Noem. You ready for this? Hang on.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Remember, we have BK with World News FBK coming in the third hour. Let's hope he tries to keep it clean today. We're going to ask him about the border. We're going to ask him about a few things. You can find me on social media at JesseKellyDC on Instagram, on Twitter, on Facebook, and also I'm on Locals. And remember, Locals is the one place I can't be kicked out of. Everyone knows. I get asked every single day, oh, man, I can't believe you're not suspended yet again. But look, it's coming. It's only a matter of time. We all know how this ends. It's not a matter of if. It's only a matter of when. But it's time for us to ask ourselves, what do you want? Back to Anzio, on to Christy Noem. What do you want? And who leads you? Hang on.
Jesse Kelly returns next. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
I mean, this is thousands of years of common sense and tradition. Girls play girls sports, boys play boys sports. Why not instead just say, bring it on, NCAA. I'm a national figure. Go ahead and try and exclude us. I will fight you in the court of public opinion and defend principle. Why not just do that?
Tucker, you're preaching my sermon. That's what I did today. Today, I with Herschel Walker,
you vetoed
Jack
the
Brewer,
bill.
With Nancy Lopez, we all stood together. I did not veto the bill. I did a style-informed revision and asked the legislature to change it so that I can win. Listen, I'm not interested in a participation trophy. I'm not interested in picking a fight that we can't win. I am a problem solver. I come to the...
Trouble in South Carolina. It's the Jesse Kelly Show. Jesse the Oracle Kelly is here. South Carolina, South Dakota. Jesse the Oracle Kelly is here. Remember back in the beginning when I was talking about Patton slapping your son, your father, your brother around with PTSD as he sits in a hospital? And I asked you, do you want that man fired? Well, let me ask you another question. That same son, father, brother of yours lands on the beach in Anzio. Who do you want in charge? There is an undeniable fact right now that you are going to have to wrap your mind around, and I'm going to have to wrap my mind around when it comes to this Kristi Noem thing and everything else going on, everything that's going to happen in the battles to come. Are you ready for this? Because this is going to hurt, and it hurts me, but it's true. What I call the system is complete leftist control of every single major cultural institution. And I mean every one of them. They run your education system. They run your entertainment system. They run your FBI. They run your military now. They run it all. They're in your church. They're in your Cub Scouts. They're in all of it. They didn't let any of it go. They control the entire system. They run, obviously, all your media. They run your gigantic corporations now. The biggest ones, all run by them. What does that mean? Here's what that means. As you and I move forward with our counterculture rebellion, and that's what we're in. That's what you and I are in now. We are in a counterculture rebellion. You are outside of the culture. You are running opposed to the current culture, trying to change it, trying to reform it. You are rebelling against it. The things you say and the things you believe are unacceptable in today's culture. You're right, but they are unacceptable. So going forward in our counterculture rebellion, you and I, our side, we are going to take casualties. You understand that this isn't going to be easy, right? That this isn't going to be funsies. This isn't going to be, I'm going to go down to the tea party on the weekend. I got this cool sign made. Oh, I heard Sarah Huckabee Sanders is going to be there. I'm going to try to get a picture with her for Instagram. Ah, hi, Sarah. Look, take a selfie with me. Yeah, we can have fun while we do it. We can go to big rallies. We can go to boat parties. We can have a couple Bud Heavies with some dimes along the way. There are going to be casualties, real world, economic and otherwise, casualties in our battle with the system. There's nothing we can do about that now. We shouldn't have let the left take over every cultural institution. But we did. Now they control them. Now we're going to take casualties, taking that mountain fortress back. What we cannot do is what Kristi Noem just did and just stop on the beach and dig in and bury our head in the sand, because then we take way more in the long run. That's surrender. In case you don't know, Kristi Noem's legislature in South Dakota handed her a bill banning men from women's sports, high school and college. The NCAA, obviously, there are colleges in South Dakota. Amazon has a big place in South Dakota. You want to know what happened? Because Kristi Noem says, no, I can't sign it. It's setting up a legal battle. We're going to lose. We can't. You want to know the real truth? Here's the real truth. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce and probably your individual state Chamber of Commerce's, they are not on your side. They are infamously pro open borders, only on the side of the corporations. That's one. Two, they're very powerful. Three, Amazon's mega powerful. And four, NCAA universities and their donors are very powerful. Why didn't Kristi Noem sign the most obvious bill to sign in the history of Republican politics, given the current environment, because her phone has been ringing nonstop with very, very, very powerful people making very pointed threats about what the economic fallout is going to be if she signs this bill. Amazon, okay, sign it. We'll leave. NCAA, okay, all those major event centers, you're trying to host this tournament game and host this and host that. We won't come there. That's millions of dollars taken out of your economy. Concert venues, up, we won't do that. This music act, nope, not coming there. Kristi Noem was simply held hostage over economic punishment, and Kristi Noem decided surrender was a better route than taking those casualties. You can agree with her on this. You can disagree with her on this. But what I'm here to tell you is this, and I disagree with her strongly, by the way, as you can probably tell, but I'm here to tell you this. This is what our future is going to be. It is time we suck it up, buck up, and acknowledge that. There's not an easy way to defeat the system once you've given it this much control over your life. Now we have to take casualties. If you didn't want to take casualties in this war, maybe you shouldn't have dumped the General Patton of yesteryear. Instead, you went with decade after decade of nice guy Republicans. Oh, they want to take it slow and take it easy, and we can't risk this and we can't risk that. Well, now you've let the Germans dig into the hills. Now you have to take casualties. The time for not taking casualties was yesterday. Now going forward, it's going to hurt. And not just a little. When you have that much of your life controlled by the same people who think the same things and all of it opposite to what you believe, getting out of that, opposing that, it's going to be hard. I wish it wasn't going to be hard. We're just going to have a blast. And you know we're going to laugh our way through it. There's no other choice. But it's going to be hard. It's going to hurt. You're going to have to watch that NCAA school say, okay, we're closing our university. You're going to have to watch that Amazon plant with 1,000 employees say, we're packing up and leaving. You ready for that? You're going to have to feel those phone calls from that big donor of yours who went to South Dakota University. He's a big-time alum, and he doesn't want to see the girls' basketball program shut down. So he makes a phone call and says, Kristi, you can say goodbye to that big fancy fundraiser we were going to have at our house next week if you sign this bill. I'm not done yet. Hang on.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.